Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Tweet us at Kaya on air using the hashtag Kaya Biz. Now, Statistics South Africa says that about 10.3 million young people aged between 15 to 24 try and enter the labor market but really face challenges. Young people make up about 50.2% of South Africa's working age population. Let's speak to Dion Smit, Master Reward Specialist and Executive Committee Member at the South African Reward Association, about what Gen Zs and Millennials want when they get into the workplace. Dion, thanks for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through, when we say Gen Z and Millennials, I always get confused by this. Who are we talking about and what are they doing in the job market in South Africa?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me and good evening to everyone listening. So I think that the note is that there's currently four generations in the workplace. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Gen X and Boomers moving off out of the workplace. We still have a few boomers in it, but millennials are quite a big portion of that already. And millennials are people born between 1981 and 1996. Mm-hmm. And then Gen Z being people born between 1997 and 2012. So that will be 28. And we've also already having the new generation, the next generation that's already coming into the workplace a bit at the bottom, Gen Alpha, trying to make their own way. And we still have to do a lot of research about them in the workplace because they're quite new. We actually don't know what their expectations are. We're a bit more clear about Gen Z and Millennials at this stage.
And so what do Gen Zs and Millennials want in a workplace? Is it significantly different from the older generations that are sharing that space with them?
Yeah, I think it is quite different. I think Gen X and baby boomers were quite set to have a long tenure in an organization, get the golden watch and move on, go to retirement. And a long-term loyalty and hierarchical advancement was very much their focus in the workplace. And, you know, we have colleagues that 45-year service and then they retire, you know. And a lot of millennials and Gen Zs, by the time they get to you, they've already been in five or six different roles in five, six different industries and six different career options, you know. Yeah. And I'm much more flexible around that, and they're there to work. But Gen Zs and Millennials come from a very different angle. They're coming to say about what's in it for me, what are your alignment to me. And previous generations are there, their focus was different, but it was a different era, so their focus would be different. And I think that for them it's not just about work. Their view is a bit wider, you know. How am I putting work inside my totality of my life, almost holistically in my life, rather than it being the sole focus? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where they differ quite a lot. And then also in the expectations of what career is. And we always hear about the corporate ladder, and I think the two older generations in the workplace currently, they use it as a ladder. Mm-hmm. You hear and you move forward and then you go up. Mm-hmm. And for me, the Gen Z and Millennials, they've made it more like a playground. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on the jungle gym, tomorrow they're on the swings, you know, and for them it doesn't really matter. So long as they are satisfied, so long as they are fulfilled in what they do and their personal values, their mental health, their flexibility, and work-life balance is all catered for, they're willing to move. Yeah. I've even heard of people moving for less money to get the balance that they want. They're willing to sacrifice financial gain for mental and physical gains. Their priorities are a bit different, I believe, to previous generations.
Yeah, we were speaking yesterday with a professor from the Stellenbosch Business School who was touching on some of the topics you are touching on now as well. And I imagine that if you are a business, you want a mix of people who are dynamic as well as Gen Zs as millennials are. And also people who can come in with a certain kind of energy, because it's good to have, those people you were speaking about that are long-term, that are staying there for 45 years. But innovation also comes from new, young blood. You need that mix. You also need to keep those Gen Zs and millennials happy until they leave. How do you do
100%.
That?
100%. And I think that it's a tough one, because the more diverse your workplace gets, you know, the more needs are there to fulfill. And I think that there's also different life cycles. So I think that your family might look different. And even inside millennials, I don't think we want to totally box these generations as that, because you're that, that's what you are.
Correct.
I think inside that, there's also a lot of nuances and differences. And I think my answer is very easy. How do you cater for all four generations? It's near impossible. And from a reward perspective, you do it in creating absolute flexibility for people and their benefits offerings. And I think I always use the example about medical aid or medical cover. If you have multiple options for people or a wider range of options, whatever where you are, either financially, on the level you are, your family size, your health, you can then make that decision to make the best decision that's there for you, that's on the table with multiple options. It is a smorgasbord of your choice. It's a menu. And therefore, that's how you can cater for everybody. Mm. What younger generations are saying, for example, is in the retirement funding aspect, is that why would they want retirement funding? Because they said, well, I'm not going to retire here. I'm not going to be here when I'm 62, 65. Why would I want to contribute? Give me the cash, you know? Mm. And that's where the balance, I think, comes from a paternalistic point of view. You know, it's good to have these insurances, the group risk covers that a lot of corporates offer the employees in case something happens. Because it's all fun and well, like any insurance. When all goes well, you're like, why do I pay this grudge purchase of having insurance until something does happen?
And you're like, thank goodness.
And for example, for me, I've got kids, so we have an education benefit, and knowing that my kids are fine. They'll be the schooling will be covered all the way if something happens to me. And I get this a lot. You get people that are single, have chosen not to have kids. They're career focused maybe, and they've opted something different choice in life. And they said, but why must I pay for it? Mm. And then probably the answer is probably in the collective. You know, we're all there in it together. But I think that so there's a balance between being a bit paternalistic in some of the things and giving choice on the others. In hindsight, you know, you think your parents tell you that is a good choice. You can't see it until you're there yourself and realize that. Right? But I think that's where corporates find it difficult, because they have to play this role of, you know, I want to be a bit of a parent, but I want to give you the options in a grider. So I think organizations need to create a framework, a guideline, but you need to be able to get employees on different ages, different levels, to color it in as they want, the best they wanted for their own personal needs and situation at that point in time, and willing to be able to change it if something changes in their life.
Let's talk about those rewards. It's been suggested that for Gen Zs and millennials who thrive, and I'm quoting directly here verbatim, on continuous feedback and recognition, implementing peer-to-peer recognition programs, instant reward systems, and regular check-ins can boost morale and motivation, because we know people in the workspace also love a LinkedIn moment, love an Instagram. Oh my goodness, I was rewarded. Please look at me. And so instead of, you know, looking down on that or judging it, you know, lean into that.
Yeah, and I think that just also be careful with social media, how you lean into it. But I think there's moments of celebration. And I think that younger generations want that instant spotlight. We've seen different ways of people doing that. Spot awards, thank you. It doesn't always have to be money. I think when we think about recognition, we always think about people want money or a voucher. But sometimes it is giving people the correct attention or spotlight in the moment where they deserve it, in front of peers, in front of others, and inviting someone to the table and say, listen, you've earned your right. You've been recognized that you, that the contribution and the value you've added, come add your voice to the room. And that's also recognition. And say, I'm inviting you to come sit here and join the conversation on maybe a level that you aren't, to one, expose you and recognize your potential. And I think that we need to do that more. We need to be more inclusive as leaders. We need to make sure we take our people on a journey with us. We need to pull them up. You know, they won't steal our light or our sunshine. I think that's what sometimes more senior of older generations, they worry that their own light will be snuffed out. But, you know, and there's an analogy about the candle. You bring out someone other's candle is, you know, it's got no value. You know, help each other out. And I think there's more to do in peer networking. So I am a great believer in mentorship and coaching. And I feel that there's a great space for older generations to actually mentor younger generations in the workplace and take them on a journey. Not to change them to who you are, but help them through the process. And I think that is so much value in that, and we don't do it enough. So I say, if someone's a younger generation, I must say, pick a leader. Pick someone that you see what you want to be, or what you want to learn from, and reach out to them. And a lot of guys are actually quite open to actually walk a journey with a different generation and share. Because one thing I've learned about mentorship, and in SARA, we've got a great mentorship program that's run for the last 6 years. And as I learned just as much from the people I mentor, than vice versa. And I love it because I've learned so much myself, but also things that I have to challenge my own thinking in a lot of these things.
Dionne, you use the word diversity and inclusion in the beginning of our conversation and just now as well, and saying that the younger people who are entering the workplace want to work in a place where they feel that there's gender equality, there's representation, there's policies that say the company that they work for cares about more than the bottom line.
Yeah, I think people are just as important. It's a very important factor in any business. And I think that people just want to be recognized that they are being seen for who they are. And I think that's not always easy. And because we all come with our own baggage to any organization, our past, maybe hurts or trauma or perceptions or stereotypes. And I think that the only way to properly do that is actually have conversations, have very open and good conversations. I think that we don't have enough of that critical, maybe sometimes conflict conversations and asking questions of each other. And I've put myself out there in the recent years and saying, but why is that so? Explain it to me. And I think that just by asking simple questions of understanding, it's actually created more communal thought and access and greater diversity and inclusion. Because now if you understand, it's easier to understand how to operate or maybe change your way of work a bit to accommodate that. And I think so ask questions, have conversations, don't be fearful of asking some difficult questions, especially for your leaders, because I think there's a lot to learn for us all.
All right. And then in the last minute or so, if someone is listening and they are from perhaps that older school that really believes in hierarchy and, you know, you need to put in the years before you climb up the ladder, and that's the way to do it when they were, you know, coming up in their careers, that's what they did, and still feel like that is the way to go. The old school, if you will, is the right way of doing things. And this new airy-fairy feelings, diversity, mental health is just doing too much. Come to work. What would you say?
I would say don't be fearful of change. I think that we almost boxed ourselves in as an older generation. And I can say proudly that I'm a millennial. I think we box ourselves in as different generations quite a bit in certain thinking patterns. Be very open to new ways of thinking, challenging your own thinking, and also be willing to pivot and say that you are wrong and you don't know. And I think that is important. It's just recognizing where you're at in your career and knowing that things are changing and you need to adapt with that change. And I think the ones that are willing to adapt and agile enough to change, they will survive and they will go on and they will thrive even in a changing work world.
All right. Dion Smit, Master Reward Specialist and Executive Committee Member at the South African Reward Association. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, just talking about the different generations, how to deal with and reward them. Really appreciate the conversation tonight, Dion.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's 1 minute to seven. On the other side of seven, we're going to be speaking about this Canal Plus multi-choice 55 billion rand deal. It's taken a really long time. Skumba earlier on said it's been 3 years and he's still hearing about it. It's finally wrapped up. We'll be speaking to Mudiwa Gavaza. He's a business writer for the Business Day and Financial Mail, and he'll really be giving us insights into what happened in that deal and what's coming next. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.